Now the last man is going to speak to him in this round. This is the second round, in the last of the second round. The third man, Zophar, will speak to him. Then we're going to have, of course, the third round, and it's going to be a pretty brief round, by the way. And this man, Zophar, won't even get in on the third round. It's over with before it gets to him, because I think that we can't say that Job won, and we can't say Job lost. Can't say the friends won or they lost. It was a standoff. Now, you remember who Zophar is. He's the legalist. He says God works according to law and measure. And he has what is known as the scientific mind. You've got a port and a test tube, and it'll always come out this way. Now, you've got to look at it under the microscope, and you always find it works this way. He is the one that says that you can't change these things and never be changed. All things continue as they have from the foundation of the world. He knows nothing, actually, of the grace of God. And so he comes on, and he comes on strong. He is actually less impressive this time around than he was before. But he's more brutal and cruel than he was before. He's a hard slugger, and he's hitting hard because of the fact that he realizes that this may be his last time around. And for that reason, he's pouring out all that he's got to pour out, which is actually not very much. He actually introduces nothing new. He rests upon his seniority, and he resorts to the same legalism he used before. He'll hold to the theory that Job is a very wicked person because of the law that the wicked must be punished. And that's what he's going to talk about here. I'm reading chapter 20 now, verse 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, "Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer." In other words, he says he's capable of answering. He has the capability. Sounds like a politician running for office. Never heard of a man running for office that didn't tell you he was qualified. Fact of the matter is, he always said he's more qualified than his opponent. And he doesn't mind telling you that. And when a man says that, of course, I don't care who he is, he does lack a little modesty. Now, this man comes on like that. Now, will you listen to him, because he's going to come on with this same type of an argument. And he says that he's going to repeat an age-established fact. And what is that? Well, here we are. "Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth?" Oh, here we come, friends. This is a scientific conclusion. He's poured it in the test tube of the past. And it's true that the triumphing of the wicked is short. Did you know that, by the way? And that's an age-established fact. And the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. Well, may I say to you, it's owing to how long short is that we're talking about, and how long is a moment. What is the length of it? I've seen the wicked that have been holding on a long time, and the hypocrite. But finally, he does come to judgment. But Zophar may be stretching a point right here. He says, "Though his excellence may mount up to the heavens, and his head reach into the clouds." He's dramatic also. This language is tremendous in the book of Job, friends. All great writers, they have acquainted themselves with the book of Job. May not know much about the Bible, but they seem to have read Job. "Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he?" Now that is going to happen. Some of the young people say today, not only, where is Hitler, but who is he? They don't recall him at all. And that first Kaiser, by the Kaiser Wilhelm, when I was just a little boy, I thought he was the devil incarnate, the way they talked about him. And he's gone. All of them are gone, but they had a long moment. They sure lived it up when they were down here. He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hand shall restore the goods. Now you know that very candidly, man is the greatest failure in God's universe, as far as I can tell. And one of the explanations of it is the brevity of man. They tell about how old these rocks are, even these old rocks that came from the moon. Well, man hadn't been around that long. Man's a Johnny come lately. And friends, if there's not an eternity ahead of us, man is the most colossal failure that God ever made. That's just one of the reasons, because of the brevity of the life of man. And that would be true of anyone except a child of God. Someone, in fact, the late Dr. Bill Anderson in Dallas, Texas, he's a great preacher. He was a great inspiration to me as a student. He one day met one of his deacons on the street, and he always had come up with an unusual one. He said to him, called him by his first name, he says, you know, said, suppose when we get to heaven or get in God's presence, we find out this Christian life wasn't the life after all that we needed. Actually, that ended it all, to tell the truth. What would be your viewpoint? And this deacon looked him right straight in the eye, and he says, you know, Bill, if we get to heaven and find out that all this business of the Christian life was just nothing in the world but our own imagination, I'm going to say to the Lord, it was very much worthwhile. It was worth it all. But you see, even then, there is a little tug at the heart of disappointment, if that is all. Why? Because we want eternity. God has set eternity in our hearts because it's there. And man's going to move on a little farther. But it is true that wickedness must be punished. Now, this man goes into so much here that I'd like to go into, but I feel like that be better for us to move on, as actually Zophar really does not add anything new. And I think we can pretty much sum up what he's saying here. And if you'll notice, he's calling Job not only wicked, but a hypocrite. And he says that this individual, he may attain eminence, but that just simply means his fall is going to be greater. And he's suggesting that that's what's happened to Job, and that he's just going to be like fuel, which will be consumed. He's like an evil vision that'll disappear, and evil will touch everything, and even as a sweet morsel, he keeps it under his tongue, and it's going to turn to gall within him. And God is going to compel him to disgorge his unjustly amassed fortune and force him to make restitution to his victims. And although nothing could escape his greed, he's going to be reduced to poverty, and worst of all, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him, as he calls it here. And he speaks of it, a fire not blown, treated like that. In other words, he'll become a raging flame. And all of his prosperity will go up in flames, and there'll be no avenue of escape. And then he more or less sums this thing up by saying, this is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. That's verse 29 here in chapter 20. He sums it all up now. Now, that's a pretty bitter dose for a man in Job's condition to take.